seriously interested in Krishna conscious activities, he must be ready to follow the rules and regulations laid down by the acharyas, and he must understand their conclusion.
Aki komolyan érdeklődik a Krishna tudatosság iránt, az a készen kell állni arra, hogy különösen átszállják a meghatározott szabályokat és előírásokat, és le kell érteni a következtetéseiket.
The Shastra says, Dharmasya tattvam nihitam guhayam mahajana vedyatha sapantha. That's from Mahabharata, Vanaparva, 313, chapter 313, 117. It is very difficult to understand the secret of Krishna consciousness. The one who advances by the instruction of the previous acharyas and follows in the footsteps of his predecessors in the line of disciplic succession will have success. Others will not. Srila Narottam Das Thakur says in this connection, Charya Vaishnava Seva Nishkar Hare Chitiva. Unless one serves the spiritual master and acharyas, one cannot be liberated. Elsewhere he says, Echai Gosai Dar Mori Taro Das Ha Savara Padarin Mora Pansagra. I simply accept the person who follows in the footsteps of the six Goswamis, and the dust of such a person's lotus feet is my food. So this is the essential point in performing our devotional activities. Is that we must hear from the previous authorities. Because they have heard from their previous authorities. And in this way, the line goes back to the Supreme Lord Himself. So the knowledge that is coming down in the disciplic succession is perfect. So by hearing these topics, one becomes elevated. And if one does not, then one can only speculate, one can only make up one's own idea. So here it is not recommended that we make up our own system. But we must hear from the authority. This is the main point being made here. Because the point is God is a person. And He has a nature. He has created everything. So He creates it how He has planned it. So if we want to know something, then the intelligent way is to approach Him. Otherwise, we can make up our own ideas. Like we have this painting here. Right? So the artist has painted this. They have an idea, they have conceived it, they have arranged the materials, and then they have painted it. So we can sit down and speculate about the meaning of this painting or the method by which it was painted. We can say that, well, just we don't know where it came from, just one day it appeared. Well, actually, no, the artist took all these cans of paint and put them in the floor in front of the wall there. And then they brought a quarter stick of dynamite and stuck it underneath. Right, then they lit the stick of dynamite. And then, voila, we had the painting. Right. like this. So we can make many ideas of what it is, how it is. Right, we can scrape off a little bit of the painting here and there. We can put it under an ion microscope. We can try to determine the atomic composition. And then from understanding the atomic composition, we will understand the artistic composition of the painting. So like this, we can go on speculating. But the easiest method is just go to the artist and ask, what does this mean? How did, what was the method you used? What was your interest in painting this? Then it makes one gains knowledge very quickly and very solidly. Why waste time? If we actually have interest in knowledge, then best to go to the source of knowledge. One wants to know about something, one goes to that person who knows it, and then one can immediately gain the knowledge.
Right?
The ideas we want to know. That is the, we have a need to know. So that is what is essential. And then, if we can gain that knowledge, we should be happy. It's not that if we only by our own mental ideas, if we come up with a solution or an idea, only that is called knowledge. So that is called the ability to exercise our intellect. But it does not necessarily mean that it is a great body of knowledge. Means we may have vast amounts of knowledge, but there must be a purpose to that. Right? Just like we may do so many different tests on this painting to understand its position. Right? We may understand its molecular makeup. We may measure the size. Right? We may do all kinds of tests to understand the balance, I mean the amounts of color. There's so much purple and so much yellow, so much green. So we can fill up books with so many facts and figures about this painting. But now, the important thing is, what is the goal of all those facts and figures? If it is to know all those facts and figures, then we have done an excellent job. But if our goal is to understand what is the painting, what is going on there, what is being depicted, then we haven't gotten anywhere. So what we are doing, activity, must be compared to a goal that we are trying to get to. When there is a goal, then activity has meaning. So whatever we want, we first have to know what we're trying to get to. Then we can perform our activities so that we move in that direction. Let's say we want to get to Budapest. We cannot just walk any way we want and figure, yes, by walking whichever way I like, I will get to Budapest. Right. All roads lead to Budapest. But we have to take the road that gets to Budapest if that's where we want to go. So in the same way as if one wants to understand the absolute truth, one has to take that path that leads us to the absolute truth. Otherwise, we'll learn many interesting things. We'll have many interesting experiences. But we may not progress down the road that actually gets us to the absolute. So here it is expressed that the serious student should approach that teacher which can give the spiritual knowledge or the absolute knowledge. And then hearing from such a teacher and asking relevant, intelligent questions, one becomes educated in this subject. Then very quickly, one realizes the meanings of these teachings. And then oneself, one also then becomes such a teacher. Acharya means one who teaches by example. So one can only teach by example if one actually practices what one teaches. And you can only practice what you teach if you believe in what you are teaching. If we value what we are teaching. Because then you will act according to what we believe. So this is a perfect teacher, one who lives what they teach. And one who teaches what they have understood and gained from the previous teachers. Then we get proper knowledge. Okay, another point being here is if we don't accept the glories of the Panchatattva, even though we make a show of devotion, one does not actually achieve the Lord's wisdom. The Panchatattva is a very scientific display of the Lord's manifestation. You have the Supreme Lord Himself. Then you have His expansions in the Vaikuntha planet. Then you have His expansions in the material world as the Purusha avatars. There's an important distinction between those. Because in Vrindavan, then he is the complete form of rasa. And so all rasas, all relationships are present in him in full. But now, to expand into Vaikuntha, where his mood is, I am God, that then means that the number of relationships is less. Or it's a different flavor. There's more interest in the awe and reverence of the Lord. Then the other aspect of Mahavishnu and the Purusha avatars is here, not only is he thinking I am God, but I am the creator, the maintainer, and the destroyer. So there's a great difference in this manifestation than in his manifestation within Vaikuntha, the spiritual realm. Because in the spiritual realm, then there's no beginning and no end. While in the material world, God has to create, He has to maintain, and then ultimately it perishes. So there's a difference in the flavor that God will manifest. Then He has His internal potency, and then the living entities, or us. So this is the complete manifestation of Godhead. This is the substance. So this is the absolute truth. So God is in these five teachers. That's why we see when we're offering arti that we will offer to the spiritual master, the Parampara, you'll offer to the deities. After you show it to the devotees, then you can put the flowers back on the altar. Complaint may come, well, how can you give something to the Lord that has been offered to the devotees? Right? But this means we do not understand this principle of Panchatattva. It means we're not accepting the glories of the Panchatattva. Because we don't understand that the living entities are part of the complete manifestation of Godhead. Because if this has been offered now to the devotees, why does it come out again afterwards and then go around and everybody then gets an opportunity to smell? In other words, on the altar, what is happening is this is your worshipping the Lord with his Parampara, with all his expansions and associates. And the living entities are part of his expansion. Just like when someone is worshipping, they have the deities of Panchatattva. It's not that when they show and when they get down to Srivas and they take them off and give it to all the other four deities, then they show it to him, otherwise they may become contaminated. On that point. Yeah. Because there's still one more point. You can go ahead. Because it's a new point. See, when Prabhupada was here, it was always done where you just offer, and then afterwards, flowers, anything goes back on the altar. And then we had one pundit who studied in South India, and who figured he was very intelligent, and he one day just went, hey, we're offering the prasad of the devotees to Krishna, just as if we showed everything to the spiritual master first, taking his permission before going to Krishna, then we were offering it to him. It was such a greedy fellow. As soon as you show it to him, he immediately takes it. And then when you show it to Krishna, then it's prasad. So this was his misunderstanding, and because he has a big mouth, many have accepted it. So this means there's an understanding of what is offered and what is unoffered. But there's not an understanding of the Panchatattva. And in the South Indian tradition, they don't know all this. They know chit achit ishwar. Meaning chit means the spiritual nature. Achit means the material nature. And ishwara means the supreme lord. So this is their main way of presenting the absolute truth. So we see in here, then there's a very definite definitions made between these. But as Lord Chaitanya gave a finer understanding of this. That when you're dealing with chit, then you have more delusions. And there's more divisions when you're dealing with Ishwara. So because of this fineness, it is not as easy to understand. And that's when it's surrendered to those
acharyas.
Then it becomes more help.
So, you might argue that the examples that you're giving of the spiritual master in Pantra or Shiva's Tantra are quite different from the assigned devotees that they are coming to in Pantra.
One would have to prove how that is different, because where you have the jivas in this arrangement, because the acharyas that are there aren't representing so much the jivas. They're representing the aspect of how we approach the Supreme Lord. Shivas Adi Gaur Bhaktivinoda. So how does the Gaur Bhaktivinoda fit into
it?
It's just, see, the mind is very tricky. You say something, it seems to make sense, and then you just accept it and don't actually think about it. So the point is we follow what the acharyas do. Like Rupa Goswami, he established the point that of worship of Radha and
Krishna.
And then after his departure, then so many pundits complained that, well, where in the scriptures is it? We don't see any place. We're pundits. We've read everything. We don't see any evidence of worship of Radha and Krishna. We didn't quote it. So then Jiva Goswami could say, yeah, you're right, I haven't come across anything either. He could say, well, you know, his thing wasn't really deity worship, even though that was Sanatana Goswami's thing. Or that was his move. You know, one could have said these things and then agreed with
people.
But instead he did a study of the scriptures and then gave evidence on why Radha Krishna worship was actually proper. So that is the proper mood of the disciple. So we see Srila Prabhupada did like that. So now we have the choice, either he's right or he's wrong. So by the present standard, means of this one we just discussed, where before showing it to the devotees you have to take everything off, means Prabhupada is wrong. Because he did that. Now we could say, well, he was just giving a simple form, and now we've developed, and now we understand. But simple or complex principles are never compromised. This actually means that there's not a proper study or understanding of what one is given. That is the point. Is this aspect of Panchatattva was left out of the equation. This was not part of the understanding. Because in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, in the first chapter, the first thing that is established is the Panchatattva and the Guru, the spiritual master.
So
So in the worship, all these elements are there. So that means the Gaura Bhakta Vrinda has to be there. And there's also, one may say, well, maybe that's included in the different other personalities that are around their jivas. So then, what's the difference between those jivas on the altar and those jivas who may happen to also be there, like Narad and Shukadeva, who came to see the fun of watching the Malechas dance and everything at the altar? Basically, what it means is when there's a fall in our consciousness of appreciation of devotees, then we come up with these philosophies. Means what I see is all that is there. What I appreciate is all that is there. I don't see that these are the Lord's devotees. I'm not seeing that other devotees may be present there. Right? The demigod, whatever. I do not, I know this one did this, and that one did that, and this guy did this nonsense, and that guy did this rascal. So I wouldn't want to spoil the offer. But actually, there's something different going on here. This is a festival of the Lord and His devotees. And Krishna is always surrounded by unlimited devotees. So we have to start understanding and accepting now that the Lord is always surrounded by devotees. And in the spiritual realm, we have to work with it. And there's not another alternative.
Okay.
We have to accept that.
Yes,
you will. Another interesting point is here, is we have to understand the application of the rasa, or
relationship.
As we see that with the Lord, with these different personalities within the Panchatattva, we have different relationships. Like with the spiritual master, then that is always established as the Mudra on the Rebbe. It does not change whether one's in the material world or in the spiritual world. Right? That mood may become a little more intimate. But there's always that respect for the spiritual master. Even in the spiritual realm, in one's spiritual form. Krishna, he is Rasamoya. He is made of rasa. He's the personification of rasa. So all the different relationships of the five relationships are with Krishna. And different devotees have different relationships with Krishna. And you put all those relationships together in one place, and that you have the spiritual pastime. You have the cowherd boys in a friendship relationship with Krishna. You have the cows and trees of Vrindavan in a passive relationship with Krishna. You have Raktaka and other devotees that are in a mood of service, servitorship to Krishna. Mother Yashoda, Nanda Maharaj, the older gopis, all in a parental relationship with Krishna. And the young gopis in a conjugal relationship. Right? So let us say you have someone in the friendship rasa with Krishna. Right? Now, when they get to the spiritual world, they're in the pastimes, their relationship with their spiritual master will still be that of on brother. Their spiritual master may also be another
cowherd.
But the relationship between those two will always have that mood of
reverence.
In other words, this manifestation of these five rasas is with Krishna. Not with the individual living. And this doesn't matter whether oneself and the spiritual master have the same relationship with Krishna or not. Right? We're all indebted to Sukadeva Goswami for teaching us in the Bhagavad Gita. Or Madhavendra Puri for establishing the line of devotion. So both of them are in the Shantaras of Krishna. Sukadeva Goswami is Srimati Radharani's pet. And Madhavendra Puri is that kalpa viksha tree that Radha Govinda is sitting under. Vidradvindaran kalpa drumada. That kalpa druma that Radha Govinda is sitting under, that is
Madhavendra Puri.
So we have that respect for them. They are in that process. We may be in a different
one.
That is not relevant. A resident of Vrindavan has respect for all the other residents. And each one thinks the other person, they have real love and devotion to
Krishna.
So we must be very, very careful that we do not make up any ideas of how we will relate to who in the spiritual
realm.
Same with Lord Chaitanya. That our relationship with Lord Chaitanya, everyone's relationship, except for the eternal associates that we see in the pastimes, means all the jivas who will come into the movement, their relationship with Lord Chaitanya is that of on reverence. More specifically, servitorship. Means in the Vrindavan Leela, that servitorship is not imbued with so much awe. But that service mood is there. Because Lord Chaitanya is not taking the mood of Rasa Mora. That of Krishna, the enjoyer. He's taking the mood of Srimati Radharani, who is the servant. So in this way, then we always have that mood of respect for Lord Chaitanya. That mood of service. So therefore, with the spiritual master, with Lord Chaitanya, there's always that mood of service,
eternally.
But with Krishna, we may have any one of five rasas. Otherwise, we may have some sentiment to develop some other idea of our own. Should be that we are able to practice in the way it says, and we are getting the result that is then presented. And the basic principle is that whatever we're doing, we remember Krishna, remember the Lord. And we see whatever we're doing in relationship to the Lord. So all our activities are in connection. So then one can see that the philosophy is able to be applied in the life. Because we see the residents of the spiritual realm, they are perfectly practicing that philosophy. They are performing they are having their interaction with the Supreme Lord in wonderful eternal
pastime.
So in that way then, one understands, so that is a perfect manifestation of the philosophy and practice. So as we advance in the understanding, then we ourselves find that we are absorbing ourselves in the Lord's pastime. Means the rules and regulations and the basically you have three aspects of philosophy. One is to establish that we are not matter, we are spirit. And to remove and the Lord is the Supreme Spirit. And we have an eternal relationship with Him. And our relationship with the material nature is temporary. And not satisfying. And the eternal relationship with the Lord is fully satisfying. So what we're trying to do is remove all the doubts and misgivings that are there in the heart by that aspect of the
philosophy.
In other words, if we want to probably give the example of this story of the marriage party going on the boat. After the marriage, when they came, all got in the boat and told the boatmen to row them back to their village. So the boatmen rowed all night. But in the morning, when the sun came up, it was seen they were still in the same place. So the leaders of the marriage party said, "Hey, what's this? You were asleep all night." He said, "You should row us back to the village." And the boatman insisted, "No, we were rowing all night." Everyone is sweating and tired. So then they checked what was the cause of them not getting anywhere. And they found the anchor was still in the in the water.
So until we pull out the anchor of attachment to the material world,
then one finds one doesn't advance nicely when it's towards the spiritual goal. So the first part of the philosophy is how much we're becoming detached from Maya. Then the next part is the process of spiritual activity. Spiritual cultivation. And then by practicing that, then we start to get a taste. In other words, this is the positive, this is what pulls, directs us towards the Lord. And then the third part tells us about the activities of the spiritual realm. And what is going on there. So that is to attract us. In other words, the first part removes our attachments to the material world. The third part attracts our attention to the spiritual realm. And the second part gives us that path on how we can get there. So Prabhupada says one can test one's advancement by jnana and by rag, how much understanding we have of Krishna and the philosophy and the process, and how much we're becoming detached from material entanglement. All these things are being discussed. Like this verse here. Means this verse here is showing us that we're not understanding the first part, means the philosophy of understanding the relationships and the position of the Panchatattva. And then we try to perform the second part of the devotional activities without this understanding. Then we will not get to the third part, the ultimate goal. Yeah, the second part is that we perform the devotional activities without this understanding. And the third is that we will not get to the ultimate goal of service to Krishna. In other words, he's pointing out that unless all these three are in line and consistent, you won't get the result. We will end here. Today there's many activities. Very excellent. Precisely. Chaitanya Charitamrita Kirti.